Hello, everybody. This is Tristan Miller, the Saucy Sleuth. Today's episode is a live recording from the independent podcast showcase that the Scavengers Network put on. We decided to review Saved by the Bell's mystery episode. So all the audio you're hearing is from that. Check out scavengersnetwork.com for more information about the great network that we are a part of. All right. Allons-y. Let us begin. All right. I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to order. My name is Tristan Miller, the Saucy Sleuth.
I'm Melissa Maley, the Spy.
I'm Tyler Riley, Cop and a Half.
All right. So, normally we do an ad break here, but that seems inappropriate for what we're doing. So go back and listen to the previous episodes if you want a free audiobook.
And today we are on the Snips Showcase.
Mm-hmm. That we are.
Hello. We're coming at you with our faces as well as our voices, unless you're listening to the episode, the one that we record.
And today we're talking about a TV series I have never seen, Saved by the Bell.
Yes, not an NBC morning sitcom from like the 90s, like came on Saturday mornings. Very weird, but so great.
I don't know.
Oh, this is a huge part of my childhood. We watched this episode because there's a murder mystery episode for those of you who, you know, were concerned that we were deviating wildly from our normal thing. Yeah. But I have seen this episode at least 5 times in my life, so but not in many years. So it's going to be fun to revisit. So we are watching episode according to IMDb, it's season 3, but according to Peacock, season 4. So I don't know, one of those, episode 26 of Saved by the Bell, Mystery Weekend.
You know what it is?
What is it?
Peacock might consider Good Morning, Miss Bliss as the first season of Saved by the Bell.
Can I also say on Amazon, it's season 5, I think, because they only break it up into 12. So it's all over the place. Just
who knows?
It's the one after the Christmas episodes.
You'll find it.
But yeah, when you look at the weekend mystery getaway, you'll be able to find it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So we are introduced to our main characters, the 6 of them entering a mansion. It is Jesse. We've got Kelly.
Little Jesse?
No, it's Jesse Spano.
Okay.
Yeah, Elizabeth Berkeley. We have Kelly. We have Lisa. We have Zach. We have Screech. And we have AC Slater. No Mr. Belding in this one, which is unfortunate. But I guess it would have been pretty weird for the principal to come along on this on this weekend trip that they made that has nothing to do with
their school. Not if it was a school trip. If it was a school trip, they could have made it work, and I wish they did. But I also don't, because then we would have got some of the weird Saved by the Bell high school characters that I don't like.
Yeah, that's fair. But we find out that Lisa has won a radio contest in which she could apparently bring 5 of her closest friends to this mansion for this murder mystery enactment, which sounds like a fun thing that I would like to do.
Yeah, Tyler, you mentioned wanting to do something like 2 episodes ago that was like this. Is that where this originated?
No, but yeah, this is very much in the same vein of that.
Okay, well, fine.
I did something like this with the Girl Scouts once.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Did you get a badge for like best detective?
Probably.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
We should get badges.
Yeah, I agree. So we are introduced to the butler, and I don't know this man's name. It's not familiar to me. Christopher Carroll plays, I think, is that him? Bartholomew? Is that the butler?
I knew the butler's name, but I didn't know the actor's name.
Yeah, it's not a familiar name to me, though. The face seems familiar. But at any rate, he welcomes everyone along with Stephen Jameson, the host of the weekend. And you're like, if this were Clue, it'd be like Mr. Right? Bob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's throwing this shindig and hosting it. So they all come in and Zach is very eager for the murder to have already happened. Like, hey, where's the murder? Where's the body?
Oh, I forgot something when I watched it from the credits. And when Mario Lopez came up, I was like, oh, he's in this? Because my only context is him like being, I think, a host on the E! Network. I had no idea he was an actor. I just assumed he was just a hot person. I had no idea. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. But like, I was so shocked.
Amazing.
He's got arms for days. Let's talk about
it. Oh, yeah.
They're there.
Yeah. It is a big thing in this show. So they say, where's the body? And a French maid in the outfit walks in and they're like, there's the body.
Yeah. Real gross, real juvenile, but not.
Yeah,
wrong.
Well, they are literal juvenile delinquents. They're delinquents, these kids.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. All the men are very very taken with this maid.
Except for Screech, who is loyal to his one and only Lisa Turtle.
Always.
Again, having never seen the show, I was like, oh, what? Is this a bit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is throughout. So, yeah, just to let you know, Tristan, at some point, I think everyone at least kisses Zach. But
for that. Like, except for AC and Screech.
Yeah, aww. Unfortunately. But yeah, Kelly and Zach date for quite a while. Slater and Zach and Kelly date for a bit, actually before he dates Zach, I think. And but for much longer, Slater and Jesse are a couple. So, but none of them seem to be dating in this episode. Right. So just to give context for everyone, it is between relationships, I suppose. So they go in and they meet the other characters. There is a piano player and the maid sits down. Yes.
Do you say pianist or pianist?
I say pianist because, which I know is, I think, more incorrect, but I say it because I don't want to sound like I'm saying the other word.
What other word?
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
What other word, Melissa?
You can surmise.
What other word?
But yes, we get introduced to the piano player who has the maid sit down next to him at the piano. And it's insinuated that there is some involvement going on between the two of them. We also see a couple, a senior couple or mature couple, however you... deigned to say it.
A couple of things here. Give me one second. A couple of things here. One, the piano player has this great line. He goes, "For you, I could play the minute waltz in 30 seconds." Very Groucho Marx. Very fun.
Gotta love it.
And then someone calls the older man Pops, and his wife goes, "I'm the only one that can call him Pops," and then smacks someone with her purse, which is an ongoing thing. And that made me laugh because I'm like, what is that relationship like? And then thirdly,
I enjoyed that they took it back and made it, you know, because it was an ageist thing to say, and sure, but she owned it.
And another thing is when we're introduced to the older character, I was like, oh, that's so cool that they have like, it's not only a murder party, but also like a reenactment, and they have Mark Twain here. And I just assumed that was going to be like part of it. And I don't know why.
I just realized that there's a chat that I can see from the stream. This is great. It's very tiny on my particular screen. But thank you. It's a dress. My Baby Yoda shirt is a dress. But at any rate, yes, good bits. There are some solid bits of this actually aged less badly than I thought it was going to.
For sure. Yeah. Especially from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have two other bits I liked written down, which is my want is to write down the jokes that I like. But you can either get to them as they come up, or I can tell you now. Because there's
how
also
about we get to them as they come up.
Yeah, I think there's also like something that should be mentioned that apparently there's prize money if you solve the Moida.
$500.
Oh my god!
I mean, when you're a high school kid, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money now.
That's three Xboxes. Oh my god!
Is that three Xboxes?
No, it's or like a Xbox?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I just remember the Xbox on the Christmas tree thing we said. Anyway, keep going, please.
Yeah, really. I know.
Running out of time.
We're so funny. We'll call back. We'll call back our old jokes.
Remember a thing I said 2 years ago?
Yeah, I would definitely solve a crime for $500.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, PIs do it for less.
But yeah, so the Jameson says, hey, why don't you get up from the piano, the maid, because you're not doing your job. And hey, Miss Spano, why don't you sit next to him? And so she sits next to him. He gets a little flirty. And the maid very intentionally spills a drink on her and they almost get in a fight. And then the lights, there's like a lightning crash or something happens. And the piano player grabs his throat and dies. And then Screech says, he strangled himself to death.
Yes, that was very good.
Just a quick point of order, not to take us too much out of our way, but as the piano player is sitting down and has his drink spilled onto Jesse, because it's his drink that the maid picks up and spills onto Jesse, Jameson then gives the piano player his glass, which he then starts to drink. That is the one that is poisoned.
Yes. Right.
You're saying he didn't strangle himself to death, Tyler?
Correct.
Oh, now I have to rethink this whole episode. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so it is our very familiar mode of our familiar weapon, poison, as we like to use with Agatha Christie.
As made famous by Hamlet and Socrates.
Those famous poisonings in history.
Yeah. Name another famous poisoning. You can't do it. I've cornered the market on listing famous poisons.
Cleopatra. No, that was a snake.
That's an ass.
But
was it a
Yeah.
But it's venom, so it's not a poison. You don't ingest. The difference is you don't ingest it. You ingest a poison.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But the mystery of how he ingested this drink is no mystery, because the drink was given to him by Jameson.
Tyler,
Screech is then very excited to get on with the solving of the murder. Kelly comes in and is like, hey, can y'all calm down? Like, a person has died. And then gets really excited as well about the next steps in finding, you know, solving the crime and winning the $500.
Yes. Also, it should be noted that when Lisa is served her drink, she is served something that sounds like a cocktail, a mango...
Mango tonic with a kiwi twist.
Mango tonic with a kiwi twist.
And it is pink and has a little green kiwi on it. It's very cute. And Jesse's like, are you going to drink that? And Lisa says, no, I'm just going to hold it because it goes with my outfit. Which I respect deeply.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it also sounds delicious. But I guess they're trying to make it sound like, you know, this teenager is not going to drink an alcoholic beverage. I don't know.
Well, the fact that it's like mango tonic water, I think, was more of the thing. Like, it wasn't even seltzer. Like, it was tonic.
Yeah. Which that's also true. Like...
Mango and quinine, my two favorite flavors.
Delicious. So they're about to sit down to dinner, and Screech shows up in a Sherlock Holmes getup with the cape and the little hat. And he says, he comes in and he says, the butler did it, because he's the one who gave the drink, right?
Yeah. Well, he says the stable boy did it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's
and then Jesse, I think, is like, there's not even a stable, you dingbat. And he's like, oh, well, the dog lied to me, and then walks away. And it's like, very great.
I love that. Yes. Yes, that's right. He didn't accuse the butler. And then Zach stands up and says, I know the answer. It was the person who served the drink. The butler did it. Mm-hmm. And then the butler comes in and says, dinner is served, with a huge fish on a platter or something. I don't know. And promptly falls over dead. And Jameson says, care to take another stab at it? Because he
was
stabbed in the back.
Care for it.
Yeah, it's good. It's real good. So we're, I guess we eat dinner and then we try and solve the murder again.
Yeah. It's like that scene in Empire Strikes Back where they all show up and Vader still has a spread. And he's like, we'd be honored if you would join us. And it's like, what, do they just sit down and eat with Boba Fett? Like, what the hell? Anyway.
I mean, you gotta eat.
You do gotta eat. Gotta, yeah. Gotta eat to live, gotta live to eat. And I'll tell you all about it if I had the time.
That's right. Yeah. But we don't. So they're chatting about who might have done it. And they're saying, they're getting very suspicious of the maid.
Yes.
Because he was getting close to, the butler liked the maid and so did the piano player. And she wasn't in there when he was stabbed, the whole thing. And then somebody else dies. How do we get to that?
Well, okay. So,
don't look at me. I've never seen this episode.
I've seen it so many times.
So the inspector is called.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So
the inspector arrives, goes into the parlor to start interrogating the group.
Yes.
He makes a big fuss over how he goes over to Screech. There's like a really fun bit where Screech just confesses out of just sheer pressure of this inspector being called to the house. Zach clears it up, lets him know that everyone present except for the maid was in the room when the murder took place. They then suspicion, like they say, like we have reason to believe that the maid did it. And the inspector says, no, I know who the murderer is. Thunder strikes, lights go out, lights come back. He falls forward and there are like 20 arrows just in his back.
Inexplicable, like
so many arrows, all the arrows.
He says the murderer is
Legolas, apparently. Like,
yes, yeah, absolutely.
And I say that to say that when lights come back up, they're like, "Oh gosh, we're never gonna know who did it." And Screech says, "Well, we just have to find whoever's name is."
Very silly.
Great though.
It's very good.
And then we find that Mrs. Bankhead, the half of the senior couple aforementioned, has had her necklace stolen.
Yeah.
And this isn't a part of the game.
That's what Mr. Jameson says. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is a real problem. We have to call the real police. So they all head out into the entryway.
And there's a commotion.
Yes. And they're trying to figure out what's going to happen. And then suddenly Lisa pushes Mr. Jameson out of the way because the suit of armor that stands next to the door, like in every home, falls forward with like the axe that it's holding.
Yeah.
In the spot where Mr. Jameson was.
And the reason they all run, the commotion was the maid slipped and fell down and dropped a bunch of tea and was like, oh no.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then that happens, and Jameson is like, yeah, this is not part of the game, so we should all disengage and go home. And I'll give you vouchers for another weekend, as they say.
Right, but only Lisa and Zach are present when he says that.
Yeah, which I thought was quite rude, because presumably this elderly couple also spent money. Also is, you know, hardworking Americans. They deserve weekend as well.
These teenagers didn't even spend any money. That's they got true. A free weekend from the radio. So yes. Lisa's very shaken up. And so Lisa asks Zach to come to the room with her. And he's trying to help her calm down and whatnot. And after they start packing, he's like, oh, I'm going to go get the vouchers from Jameson and then I'll be right back. And are you going to be okay? She says, yeah, I'll be fine. I'll pack your stuff up, but would you just lock the door? Which locks from the outside.
An insane request.
Also, he says, I'll double lock it. One to keep out the murderer and one to keep Screech out.
Mm-hmm.
They're so mean to Screech.
They really are.
They are. Yeah. I don't know why Screech is friends with these fools. I wouldn't be if I were Screech.
Yeah. High school's hard, guys. I remember.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to be friends with people who are mean to you.
I guess, maybe, but what happens next is Zach, is it? The blonde boy? Captain America goes to talk to Jameson and to get the vouchers, and he goes into his office, and then he's like, ah, yes, he unlocks a safe. He goes, here you go, and he hands the envelope. Everything goes dark, and then Jameson is gone. And the actor forgot to fully close. There's a curtain behind his desk and it's a little open, and the actor forgot because he snuck out during the blackout. This feels like a play, by the way, because it's like a sitcom before a live studio audience, etc.
Yeah.
And he clearly like opened the curtain, ducked backstage, and then forgot to fully shut the curtain. And I was just like, yeah, okay, I wonder where he went. I truly do.
But everyone is very concerned.
Very concerned.
And, you know, Zach comes in and he's like, oh, I don't know what happened. He just gave me these vouchers. And then they're like, well, what do you mean? And they look in the envelope and he's, because the maid says, there's no way he's giving you something for free. That's not a thing he would do.
She says, seashells. She says, he steals towels from his own hotel.
That is what she says. Yes.
How cheap is he? But there's $500 in the envelope. And they're like, well, you stole the $500 then, you thief, which is worse than murder.
Clearly. And then
I'm sorry. He willingly hands hit them the envelope. If he had stolen that money, what would his game plan have been?
That's a good point.
You would have hid the money. Show. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. So he's like, listen, I'm not a thief. You should ask my friends.
Oh, right.
And so they each get interviewed in succession about things that Zach has done. Well, he's not a thief. He's very honest. Oh, except for the time he stole the mascot of Valley High. But they deserved it. Or, oh, except for that time. That time he sold fake IDs to all the students. But otherwise, he's very honest. And just like, and then Screech says, oh, yeah, he's my best friend. I've written down everything we've done together. In 1987, he tied me to the train tracks. They're like, I mean, this guy. Zach says, okay, but actually, Lisa heard Jameson say, talk about the vouchers. She'll vouch. She'll vouch for me.
Oh, yes.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Very nice. Mm-hmm. So likewise. They're like, great, let's find Lisa. And they go up to the room. And Lisa is not in there. And he says, there's no way she could have gotten out. I locked her in, but she asked me to. And they're like, this looks terrible for you.
Yeah.
And then they go through his luggage and find the necklace that the older woman has been missing. And
who gives him a good wallop with her purse, which is appropriate and just and of God.
Yes. And they also find Lisa's new watch that Jesse had complimented earlier. Mm-hmm. So there, Screech says, you killed my future wife.
Yeah. My future wife.
Always hopeful, that Screech.
So, I think in the previous scene when they were talking, you know, this is one of the bits that I wrote down. At some point, Mario Lopez calls Screech a dumb twink.
And yeah.
That was hysterical. Like, what are you talking about? Again, just completely, like, that doesn't even make sense. And then also, when they find the $500, Screech goes, "Hey, Zach, I didn't know you if you needed the money, I would have loaned it to you," which, very solid.
Yeah.
And those are the bits I liked.
Very good.
This has been Tristan's Bit Corner. Not Bitcoin, Bit Corner.
Mm-hmm. So they're in the room. The three boys are in the room because, yeah, I don't remember. The detectives had said, like, "Hey, let's all go to our rooms while we figure something out." And so they're in the room and they're looking around and they're like, "I don't understand where Lisa could have gone. There's no way she could have gotten out." And then Screech is like, "Well, what do you think? I'm going to turn this candlestick and it's going to open the fireplace and there's going to be another room behind it," which is exactly what then happens. So then the wheels turn in Zach's head. They all come together. Everyone in the house comes together. And he says, "I have figured it out. There was a cigarette and lipstick on a glass, lipstick on two glasses in the room when I was with Mr. Jameson."
Yeah, and that's when they go back to his office.
Right. And one of these things was a mango tonic with a twist.
Yes, because it's also noted earlier that Jameson is smoking and they're like, "You shouldn't smoke. It's bad for you, even for secondhand smoke," because he shows up smoking. I'm like, wow, they really were just still doing this in the 90s. And then, of course, they comment on it.
Yeah.
And then right after that, the piano player dies. And so, you know, it's a bit bum. But anyway, exactly. Back to the reveal.
Yeah. So, but there were lipstick on two glasses, which at that time, no one could imagine that anyone else other than a woman would be wearing lipstick. Yeah. So that's what they say. They're like, "Oh, well, it had to be another woman." And Zach says, "But what if someone," because clearly someone had changed clothes.
Yeah, because there was a Jameson suit was hanging on the back of his office door.
Right. So he says, he unmasks, basically.
Scooby-Doo style.
He says the other person in the room was Jameson. Yeah. And it is this female detective that is here.
Inexplicably.
And, yeah.
Never introduced before. Not even introduced, just shows up.
Yeah, there's a couple detectives walking around, the real police. Mm. And
speaking of Scooby-Doo, I'm so sorry to interrupt. At the beginning, Screech is like, "This, you know, mansion is scary. A thunder goes off," and then he jumps into someone's arms. Scooby-Doo guy. It was very fun.
Yeah.
Very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But yes. So Lisa had gone through the secret passage and had a drink with Jameson, who had orchestrated this whole thing. Yes, and was Tristan. In
cahoots.
Right.
And then the other detective is the butler doing a New York accent.
Right. He says, "Screech was right. The butler did it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it. So what did we think of the episode? Out of five mustaches, I think.
We're doing out of five. I give it a 2, 2.5. Again, I said this, I think, off mic. I've never seen Saved by the Bell. So unfortunately, I have no like nostalgia for this. So I'm just like, okay, it is a sitcom from the 90s. And then I said this, I've never seen Saved by the Bell, but I have seen this episode before. I was like, oh, they're going to think that it's not the game. And then it's the game. And then it's going to be the guy that did it the whole time. It's going to be all an elaborate ruse. Okay. So like, it was fun. There were some bits I liked. It was 20 minutes. So that was great. It was as good as it was long. So 3.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was like a 4.5 out of 5. I really enjoyed this for the way that it's structured for people of all ages, because you have to, you know, get it so that the kids can be clued in. You know, I mean, and it was just as enjoyable as Knives Out to me, you know, where I know the exact setups of each of the things, but it still was fun. I still had a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to give it a 4 for similar reasons to Tyler. There's nostalgia for me in this. There were some things that, as I said, didn't age well, but it was better than I thought. And it was cute. Lots of cute puns, lots of cute jokes. I wish they'd been nicer to Screech, which is apparently going to be a problem for me if I continue to rewatch episodes of Saved by the Bell, because they're so mean to him. Yeah. So we were mentioning earlier before we started, there's a thing called on Funny or Die, about Zach Morris being a sociopath, which
Zach Morris is trash.
Yeah, very curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did it in 30 minutes, guys.
Proof that we can, but we don't like to. All right. And with that, I now call this meeting of the Amateur Detective Club to a close.
Gavel sound.